Hey everybody, this is the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 9. And hey, guess what? We lost to LSU 41-14 this week.
Well, we're awesome, so LSU can go suck it.
yeah, man, like, you know, like I said in that little recap video that I did, a little wannabe Sports Center kind of thing, I was just messing around with some things. If you are out there listening to it and you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go back, go to meangreennation.com and find the video that says MGN video recap and watch it. Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I was playing around with some stuff. I was like, you know, I just kind of want to mess with this, have this ESPN3 here, kind of want to highlight some things. And I ended up spending the majority of time messing around with trying to get it to work. You know what I mean? Like, trying to make the thing, like, work and get the sound right. Then I did finding plays. So if like the plays are kind of limited, you're like, well, it's like four, and there's like some better, you know, examples of some things. Maybe you could have done it. Well, that's the reason. so hopefully, I'll, you know, like by next week, I plan to do it next week. Apparently, this Texas Southern game is going to be on ESPN3, which is kind of cool.
Kind of excited about it.
Yeah, that's what somebody said. It's listed on the ESPN3 like schedule. So that's pretty sweet. I know it's going to be on TXA21 if you are out there and you have access to that. So that'll be good for you. But yeah, let's talk some more about this LSU game, man. You said you were not able to watch all of it because of, you know, obligations and whatnot. But you know, so what's your sense of the game, man?
It seems like we actually played really, really good for a body bag game. Most of these games, you know, we get destroyed on, especially like, you know, like the Dodgers games when we'd play like Oklahoma and everybody else and just get racked. And, I definitely think there was an improvement in this team. You can just see it from one year to the next, how we played at Alabama last year to how we played LSU this year. And, you know, we did a lot of good things, but obviously, like, you know, Coach Mack said, we don't like losing, we don't accept losing, and it sucks to lose. So, at the end of the day, we're 0-1, and hopefully we whoop up on Texas State this week.
Yeah,
or not
kinda,
Texas State.
Texas Southern, yeah.
Texas Southern.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, man, it's like, what, 508 yards, a total offense for LSU, 219 for UNT, 192 yards passing for them, 143 for us. We were 8 of 21. Terrible. I think for all the way up until that long pass to Breland Chancellor, we had like 55 yards total offense up to that point. So, you know, it really looks like it's hard to see unless you're watching the game and like know the history of North Texas and how terrible the defense was for a lot of years to kind of appreciate this. It was like all the way until the fourth quarter, it was what, 27-7. And this is LSU, right? You know, like, probably one of the best defenses in the land outside of, like, Alabama. So, you know, it was it's good things. I came away feeling good, and I'll take the moral victory, you know what I mean? So, it's fine. It's good that Coach Mack is out there, you know, preaching, you know, competitiveness and getting there, making sure everybody's unhappy with the win so they can come out and whoop up on Texas Southern, who will probably get eaten alive. But that's kind of the way things go. I don't know. How do you feel about, cause I know some people are really not fans of these body bag games. Some people feel like it's kind of a challenge, and I know Coach Mack kind of treats them a little bit as a challenge. He says, you know, it's an opportunity to go out there, plan to win. You can't upset anybody unless you play a team, you know, like the number one team in the nation, you know what I mean? What do you feel about doing kind of like the same kind of thing, turning around and playing Texas Southern, not a non-FBS team?
Well, for the first part of the question, the body bag games, how do I feel when we play them?
Yeah.
I think they kind of suck. I hate starting out 0-1 every year. It's kind of a beatdown. But when you recruit kids, you do get to say, hey, look, we're going to go play at LSU. We're going to go play in Georgia. We're going to go play in Texas. We're going to go play in Alabama. And, you know, the kids want to play in that environment, so I understand why they do it. And, you know, obviously it helps fund the athletic department, so that's a good thing, too. How do I feel about us using Texas State kind of as our body? Or, God, I keep saying Texas State. Texas Southern, as our body bag game. You know, I'm okay with it because for once, I want to see us whip up on somebody. I'm sick of, you know, being the whooping child, and I'm excited about it. I think winnable games is what's going to get us a fan base. So whether that's playing a D2 school or, you know, playing a lower level FBS opponent, I think we should do it. I think we should do it as much as we can. I would love to schedule the New Mexico States and Idaho's and D2 schools and all them, you know, and everybody else that's lower on the food chain than us. So,
yeah, that's not a terrible idea. I mean, if you look at like how, you know, everybody praises Mike Leach, and I love me some Mike Leach, the captain over there, who's now at Washington State. But, like, part of their kind of MO, part of his MO Texas Tech, over there, was playing some terrible schools. You know, they'd play, you know, Nowhere State or Directional School or something like that. You know what I mean? And they play those FBS schools, you know, put up 60, 70 points, and then, you know, come in. I guess the thing is that you, like, it's kind of like since there is no preseason, you kind of do some preseason-type things. You know, you get some live game action, and you get the guys some confidence. And then you build up the fan base, too, because, I mean, it really is fun. For the casual fan, you know, like, the person that likes going to the game for, like, and most of the reasons are, like, you know, just to see chicks dressed in, like, short skirts or, you know, like, short t-shirts or, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Which, yeah. You know, that's a legit reason to go to the game. It's just, like, a big social event, right? We're the weirdos that like to watch the football and, like, get all excited about that. And, you know, get on the message boards and complain about, like, you know, whether or not the quarterback's taking snaps from under center or not. You know what I mean? But yeah. A lot of times people just like to go see a game, and it's kind of fun seeing, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns by the home team. And then you go home. And so that's not a terrible strategy. And I think we'll get to see some of that right now. The problem is, I think that Dallas, the Metroplex area, is they're knowledgeable about, like, quality football. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to sell, hey, come out and watch, you know, Texas Southern get whooped up on by the home team when you got, like, TCU playing, like, a legit opponent. You know, like, TCU's going to Baylor or something like that. You know, I don't know what the hell TCU's doing this week. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think everybody, they kind of know what a real football game is. And trying to pass off this FCS school as, like, you know, like, quality entertainment may not fly. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, our fan base is at the point where students and, you know, alums, they're coming out to the game to A, tailgate, B, drink, and C, hang out with friends. And then most of them are going inside to the stadium to watch some football, but that's not what it's all about.
No, it's about camaraderie and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fun. It's a big party. I mean, you go out, it's basically 5 or 6 parties in the fall. Yeah. And, you know, that's what it is. But hopefully this, you know, this is a starting point. I know, you know, I saw freshman class after freshman class, you know, as I was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, going all the way through the ranks at UNT. Every time I saw a new freshman class come in, the first game of the year was always packed. Like, everybody, you know, in 2007, the first game of the year is packed. 2008, first game of the year is packed. And then we'd get blown out. We'd lose to, like, Tulsa 54-2 or something. Or, you know, we'd lose the Ohio game in, like, crazy fashion. Or we'd lose to Rice or something like that. And people wouldn't come back. Because, you know, they said, oh, the same old North Texas, they lost. You know, they got blown out or whatever. We're not coming back to any more games. But if we have a chance to, you know, take this freshman class from this year and go out and whoop on Texas Southern, they're going to be like, wow, and, you know, North Texas won, you know, 50-3 or something. I want to come see more of their games and everything like that. So I definitely think it's a good thing.
Yeah, let's take a look at, like, say, 07, the, like, earliest stats that I have at my fingertips right now. I'm sure I can find more. Florida Atlantic, 9-22-07. Like, we played our first two games on the road. It was at Oklahoma. We lost 79-10. And then the next game was the one, which is kind of like a home game because it was at SMU. We lost 45-31. First home game against Florida Atlantic, we lost 30-20. There was 20,000 people at the game. 20,479 at Fouts, at terrible, terrible Fouts. after two more losses, won a 66-7 loss to Arkansas, and then a 38-29 loss to ULL. Home against ULM, 18,000. Next home game, 18,000. Then that Navy game got 26. Western Kentucky, home game for Western Kentucky, 5,000 people.
And 2007 is kind of a bad example because it was all still all excited about dodgeball, even like the whole year through.
Yeah,
so,
okay, well, hold on. Like now we're looking at 2008. Yeah. Opening game, 9-6-0-8. Kind of similar circumstances. Opened the year on the road against a FBS opponent. Played Kansas State on the 30th of August. Lost 45-6. And came home, played Tulsa, lost 56-26. 22,000 people there. 22,785. Two games on the road, a loss to LSU, 41-3, loss to Rice, 77-20. Oh my God, I remember that game. Drop off about like 6,000 people. Florida International drew 16,000. Louisiana Lafayette in October, 17,000. Then Troy had 18,000. And then finally Arkansas State closed in the year, 9,000. But that final home game is always pretty hard to track. Again, Ohio, that game that you're talking about after the win against Ball State, that's kind of a special case because it was like really rainy, like you were saying. Only 16,000 came out to that. First quality home game, like we went on the road, played at Alabama, lost 53-7. Middle Tennessee State, 22,000 for that opener. Then Florida Atlantic, 23,000. So good crowds. And then after more losses, 12,000. And then Army drew 23, but that was only because it was Army. Now something similar happened in 2010. Rice opening game, 23,000. The next home game, 17, 14, 14, 14. Kansas State drew 21, but that was because it was Kansas State.
Yeah. So we're never able to. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just saying something similar happened last year. I mean, throwing out that Middle Tennessee game because it was rainy as hell. Also, that Western Kentucky game only drew 17,000. You know, we opened with Houston and Indiana. Those had 28 and 21, respectively. So, yeah, man. I don't know. So this is going to be a weird year. I don't know. Like, are you concerned that we're not going to get 20? I think we'll get 20, 21, 23,000. And make it nice and fun for everybody, man.
I think we'll get a good turnout, man. Supposedly, this is the biggest freshman class in UNT history. So I think you're going to get a lot of students, and I think last year's freshman class is actually going to stick with it, unlike, you know, previous years, because we had a pretty good year last year. What were we, 4-2 at home? So they saw more wins than they did losses last year. You know, they're not like me, who's like 0-15 all time at my North Texas games. So, you know,
that's why we're keeping you far, far away.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to the Texas Southern game, because if I showed up, we'd somehow lose.
Yeah.
But anyways. You know, I think we're going to get a really, really good student turnout. Weather's supposed to be real nice from what I'm hearing, like 80 degrees and, like, you know, sunny and everything. So it's supposed to be real good weather. I think I'm optimistic. I think we get, like, 24, 25 out to this game. You know, it's not Houston or it's not Indiana, but I think people want to come see this team. We played LSU pretty respectfully. Even though the final score doesn't really dictate that, there was a lot of people, you know, in the local media in Dallas, you know, talking on the radio. I heard they said, like, on ESPN 103.3, they were talking about our game against LSU, and one of the hosts was saying, like, if we play the way we did against LSU, we're going to dominate the belt. So, you know, that's pretty good that we're actually getting people talking about us and excited about this program. And I think we have good attendance, and hopefully we keep it.
You know what's going to be a good thing is that the game starts at 6, right? That on Saturday the Rangers are not going to be in town. Like that never used to be a problem, but the way the Rangers have been doing things the last 2 years, I know they affected like a couple games, right? Because there was like playoff games, playoff baseball going on at the same time as UNT stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to be in Tampa Bay, so that's going to be a good thing, man. Yeah, I think 24,000. I know it has to be more than the 21,000 that the Allen, whatever, what are they called?
Eagles,
yeah, out there. Yeah, they got they had 21,000 at their new stadium. Their, you know, $18 million. How much is that? What it was?
Something like that.
A shit ton of money stadium. I think that's what they should call it. Yeah,
You know what?
so go ahead.
You know what angers me? They have an indoor practice facility. That angers me. Anyways, that's for another day.
Yeah, another day when we talk, we do some North Texas complaining, like every North Texas fan ends up doing. Yeah, so like I think this game, I don't know though, because I was like, I wonder if this is why that Brett Vito, the beat writer for North Texas, he linked to a Nick Saban, like he was going on and on about, like, he was like, oh, you guys don't respect, you're not respecting Western Kentucky, and it's making it hard for me to motivate these guys, and blah blah blah. I wonder if he posted that because maybe we're not taking Texas Southern seriously. But I mean, I'm not. It's hard, like it's. I think UNT is favored, and where they're better, the better team, better talent, better facilities, everything to their advantage, and. I don't like pretending like Texas Southern is some juggernaut that can jump up and do some damage when they can't. I mean, North Texas has to take care of business, and that's part of that's part of the learning curve, right? You gotta learn how to play as a favorite, right? That's part of the game, ain't it?
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. I mean, I watched Saban's thing and I just laughed. I was like, wow. But hey, if he wants to give respect to Western, then that's cool. I don't respect him, but
Yeah, I mean, really, yeah, it is his job to take him seriously. It ain't my job to take him seriously. I mean, really, like if Alabama plays to their abilities, they should whoop up on Western Kentucky. And
what's funny?
go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, man. All right.
What's funny is if you listen to him talking to the media and he's like, nobody gives respect and you're making our players have big heads and all that stuff. It seems like he's mad at his players, but he's yelling at the media. And I'm
Yeah.
like, I don't understand this. He basically came out and said without saying, yes, my team is having a shitty week of practice because they think they have big heads and that they're just going to stomp on this team. But it's all your fault, media. It's all your fault. Even though I'm the coach and I should be able to tell my team that they shouldn't have big heads, it's your fault.
Yeah, like he was blaming them for writing basically the obvious thing. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like that's a little too much Alabama talk for the on the Mean Green Nation podcast. So we'll stop Alabama talk. Let's keep talking about this LSU game because I think it was important. I think, like I said, I kind of pointed out that I feel like the team, like everybody's like, well, they played so well, and everybody's like, well, you're like the lame, and you're like, well, how'd they play well? What was good about it? Because from my eyes, I saw them, LSU ripping off 80-yard runs. You know what I mean? What's going on here? And returning kicks all the way. Didn't what was so great about it? To me, a lot of it was like the fight they had and like how close they were. Like I said, it was 27-7 in the third quarter after a field goal. And if one or two things, like fell North Texas way, it could have been a totally different game. Do I think
Yeah.
LSU is better? Yes, they're definitely better. They're better than most of the teams in the nation. That's why they rank so highly. But I think we held our own given the circumstances, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I mean, I'm sitting there like checking the scores while I'm at work the whole night, and I'm just looking, and I couldn't believe the fact that with like 4 minutes to go in the game, it's 34-14. I'm like, we're only down 20. The spread is 45. We're favored to lose by 45 points in this game, and we lose by 20. Or we were losing by 20 at that point. We did let up like a, kind of a small touchdown there at the end. But I just couldn't believe how I thought we were playing awesome. I was like, if we could keep this at 34-14 and end that way, I'd be like super excited, doing cartwheels, happy. So.
Yeah, it's much better than like say that I think I mentioned it just a second ago, that Rice game, where it was like 56, like Rice had 56 points at halftime. You know what I mean? Like if Rice could do that to us, you know what I mean? Like what would, well, LSU that season, they beat us 41-3, but it was ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like this team, it gave it 41 points, and I know Coach Mack didn't like that, the fact that they allowed so many points, that they weren't as competitive as he had as he would like them to have been, and also that they weren't getting that many turnovers because they won a turnover battle, like every other game last season or something. In case you're wondering, the turnover battle was 2-1. They had one, we had two. But yeah, anyway, like my point was that like there were some good things there. Like Breland Chancellor is a weapon. We knew he was a weapon, and he played really, really effing well. You know what I mean? Against the belt, if he plays like that, yeah, he's gonna like lead the conference in receiving and score a lot of touchdowns. He had two this game against LSU. I don't think Middle Tennessee is gonna be able to hold him because Middle Tennessee is terrible.
How excited were you to see Chancellor literally run away from an SEC caliber defense?
Oh yeah, dude, it legitimized him, you know what I mean? Like not necessarily in my eyes, but like, you know, to everybody else, you're like, whoa, he really is that good. You know, everybody kind of had a feeling like he's a playmaker, and you call him a playmaker, but whoa, he is a playmaker. Look at him scoring 80 yards, getting open.
But just the fact that you're like, this is an SEC secondary, and he just blew by him. Like, when he first started out on that play, he was like, 5 yards ahead of him. And when he got in the end zone, he was like 20 yards ahead of him. Like, he just blew by an SEC defense. And I don't know, but I was a happy little man right there.
Yeah, man, it just I think all the LSU fans, because let's talk about a little bit about where you watched the game or where you didn't watch the game. I was here in San Antonio, where I am, and I went to the Buffalo Wild Wings and I was watching it there. I was the only person in green, me and the woman, and I was surrounded by LSU people, like just like some random chick, like sat down in purple watching it, and we're like her dude, and there's like a group of guys there, like old folks or something, because they're like, yeah, mean green, huh? That's the quote. And I was like, yeah, go in green, dude. And that was before the game. And then they were kind of like, all right, as they're returning kicks and whatever. But after Breland scored, and after I was like, it was only 27-3. They couldn't just laugh the whole game. They were just like, North Texas boys can play, huh? And that is exactly what Coach Mack was wanting. You know, he said that's what he wants the squad to leave the impression on the nation that this squad can play, and it's not going to give up, it's not going to give in, it's going to play smart football, and it's going to be tough, you know? It's going to be hard to beat them. And although the score, again, although the score doesn't indicate it, the game was a lot closer than it seemed.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome.
It's kind of creepy that the people at Buffalo Wild Wings sounded like the Penguin.
Well, it was like that one guy out of like a table of five or something like that. Yeah. Going around the Sun Belt, did you catch any of that Arkansas State Oregon game?
I did. I got home to see that whooping.
Oregon scored
And
29 points in the first quarter.
yeah, didn't they have like 50 at halftime or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, they had 29 in the first, 21 in the second. That's 40. That's 50. Yeah, 50-10 at halftime.
I remember, yeah, it was something like 50-10 at halftime, and then I stopped watching it because I was like, wow, Arkansas State's getting whooped. And I turned it back on like midway through the fourth quarter, and Arkansas State had scored like 30 points. And I was like, when did they score those? But it's all right. Arkansas State didn't look that impressive to me. I think we played better against LSU than they did against Oregon, so.
Yeah, they may have scored more points, but Oregon's not really known for their defense. And
That's
another team that didn't impress was Florida International. They went to North Carolina and played Duke, and they got beat 46-26 by Duke, including that 30-point second quarter by the Blue Devils, man. I thought Florida International was gonna be better than that. I don't know, I'm feeling confident now, man. Louisiana Lafayette went out and beat Lamar 40-0, but I mean that's not impressive. They kind of should be doing that. Western Kentucky beat Austin Peay 49-10. Again, they should be doing that. I'm not impressed. South Alabama, they everybody thought they were going to be poised to be useful in this league, and they went out and they lost to fellow noob UTSA 33 31 at home, in Mobile. But although some people were saying that might have been because they didn't really get to practice outside and they didn't get to really practice all week because of the hurricane, but whatever, man. And Florida Atlantic, oh my goodness, they barely squeaked out a win, 7-3 against Wagner.
Yeah, that's sad.
I think worst of all, though, was probably Middle Tennessee State losing to McNeese State 27-21, in which they had to come back. They scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. It was, what, 24-6
Yeah.
Entering the fourth. Ridiculous, man. They're gonna suck. They suck.
I'm excited to leave the belt. I can't stand being around Middle Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, the only problem with saying that, and I agree with you, but the only problem with saying that is that, like, if we're, like, say everybody made the move in 2007, people would be saying the same thing about North Texas. Like, oh man, do you see them? They get dominated by Rice 56 to 10 at halftime. What the hell?
Yeah, I
No,
know.
so, I mean, Middle Tennessee State was good like 3 years ago. They've fallen off so far so quickly.
I think this is their coach's last year. I think he gets fired after this season, because I don't see them doing much.
All right, yeah, so I'm looking at right here. Yeah, North Texas does play on ESPN3, which is awesome. Awesome.
Sweet. I should be able to watch it.
Yeah, ESPN3, and it's going to be, I think, like, probably on Mean Green Premium. I don't know. Do you ever subscribe to Mean Green Premium?
I did last year. I watched. That's how I watched all the home games last year. I was at two of them, but the other three I watched on Mean Green Premium. I had it for last year, and then I had it for the basketball season because I wanted to watch the home basketball games, and I did. And then I kind of canceled it around like April or May when basketball season was over because, I don't know. There was nothing really to watch on there. I didn't. It's not that I don't like to watch softball, but I just wasn't watching it, so
Yeah, I got you,
I was
man.
like,
I think everybody kind of does the same
canceled.
kind of deal. Yeah. So in case you're wondering around the Sun Belt, like, North Texas is gonna be playing Texas Southern, in a game we should win. So, like, no, we're not gonna really learn much about our team there, I don't think. But like, Louisiana Lafayette, they play Troy. They go to Troy. They play them. It's gonna be on ESPN3. Florida Atlantic is going to travel to Middle Tennessee State in a battle to see who's the suckiest of them all in the Sun Belt, I guess. And then Memphis is going to play Arkansas State at ASU. That's going to also be on ESPN3. Louisiana Monroe is going to go to Arkansas and get stomped, probably. Florida International, they host Akron in a game that I probably would have said that Florida International had a chance to win. But now I think I don't know. Akron's also 0-1. And South Alabama hosts Nicholls State. So we're not gonna learn much more about South Alabama there either. And of
Yeah.
course, Western Kentucky takes on Alabama in a game that Nick Saban thinks you should give lots and lots of respect to.
Yeah, gotta respect those Hilltoppers.
Yeah.
I think Arkansas State will definitely win. Didn't Memphis lose to a 1AA team this week?
Let me see. Memphis. Memphis, who did you
Memphis is
play?
pretty, they're pretty bad.
Memphis did lose, and they lost to, drum roll. Yeah, Tennessee Martin, 20-17.
Okay.
What? What? Yeah, they're pretty terrible too.
So I like how we're like, oh yeah, we're moving into Conference USA. Teams don't lose to 1AA teams up there. And
Oh
then,
wait, they do. Oh, never
oh wait,
mind.
Memphis. Memphis is going to the Big East, so
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, get rid of them too, man. We don't want to be associated with Memphis. They're losing to Tennessee Martinesses. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fellow Conference USA member, UTSA, they won also. Do you have hate for them yet?
For UTSA?
Yeah, for UTSA.
Not right now. I will next year. Right now, I don't care. To me, they're just kind of, we don't play them, so they're kind of irrelevant to me. I mean, I guess I'll care if they like steal some recruits from us or something, which they probably already have because Larry
Yeah, I think
Coker
they took one or two, but I think we've
so.
taken one or two from them also. I think the interesting thing, now that I think about it, is that UTSA is kind of, they've kind of played a bunch of FCS teams, and I know a lot of it is kind of because of, like, a lot of the popularity is because it's new in town. But I think it may be a case can be made that, like, racking up wins against inferior teams maybe is good for building up a fan base. That 56,000 record attendance that for last year in the opening game, That was against like Northeastern Oklahoma State. Exact. Nobody knows who it was, but they won like 41 or something. Everybody's excited. Nobody remembers. They remember the first touchdown, the first like 3-4 touchdowns, and that's it. They don't remember against who, and they remember everybody was there. Everybody told all their buddies, and that led to the record attendance. So yeah, maybe playing Texas Southern, laying the wood on them is gonna be the way to. You know, maybe we should do this more often. You know.
I agree.
By the way, in case you care about any of these Conference USA future conference mates, UCF, are they moving? UCF?
Yeah, they're going to the Big East too. Them, Memphis, and SMU and Houston.
Okay, so yeah, UAB, they lost to Troy. That's no good. Rice got beat by UCLA. They got dominated by UCLA. East Carolina beat Appalachian State, which is, you know, whatever. Marshall got stomped by West Virginia. Tulsa, they lost to Iowa State. They got beat pretty badly by them. Southern Miss lost to Nebraska in that game that Taylor Martinez threw for like 5 touchdowns. We talked about Memphis, but they're leaving. Tulane, they lost to Rutgers. Houston, they're leaving, right? Yeah, they're leaving. We won't talk about them and that terribleness. And then UTEP, they hung in there with number 4 Oklahoma, man. So that's interesting there. They lost, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, they lost 24-7, and it was 10-7, into the third quarter. So, you know, there you go.
Yep.
There you go. Your Conference USA wrap up. What's up, man?
I'm gonna start a little unplanned segment right here. Let's give a prediction. For this week's game against Texas Southern, score was?
I'm going to go ahead and say 70-3.
Damn.
Yeah, I said okay. it. Okay. I said it.
I'm going to go like 45-10.
45-10. I'm going to say 70-3. Yeah, I said it.
Okay. That would be awesome.
Oh, hell yeah, it would be awesome. I don't know. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to drink beforehand. Oh,
that's right. You're going up there.
Yeah, I'm driving up to Denton, you know, go see some old friends, go to old bars, I guess, and, you know, go support my team, man.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll be there, and, you know, I'll get some pictures for the site, and I'll try to remember that it's on ESPN3, and then maybe do some analysis, you know, some funsies with the Photoshop and then in the iMovie and whatnot, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'll do that. Where you plan on watching the game?
If I'm not working, I'll just be at home watching it on ESPN3. If I'm working, I will just have to watch it later when I get off work.
Cool. All right, man. All right, sounds good. Yeah. Let me see, what else before we let out? I know we're already at like 30-something minutes. Soccer takes on BU. Go BU.
Go BU.
Still remember that guy. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I guess the last season I saw North Texas soccer, the women's soccer team, go play in Waco against Baylor. And there was one dude, just one dude, and he was sitting there, and that's how he kept cheering for him the whole time. Go BU! That's it. Same tone, same whatever, just the whole game. And he annoyed the crap out of me. So, yeah, there you go. And if you listen to like whatever are the podcast called Green Tutu, you will know that you need to wear a green tutu.
Number 6.
Yeah.
Go listen to it.
Go listen to number 6. Wear green tutus. North Texas soccer is undefeated. There's a 16 game home unbeaten streak on the line. The last loss is coming at SMU. This is according to the little write up on meangreensports.com, so you can go read it there. You don't have to hear me read it to you. But yeah, North Texas 5-0. That means undefeated, guys, and 5 wins. And Baylor is 5-1-0. And North Texas has not lost to Baylor in Denton since 1997. There you go.
I expect a really good crowd for that. They've been telling everybody, the athletic department's been telling everybody all week to, you know, go out to the big tailgate thing at the Hill Friday night which is, you know, they used to do it at Clark Park, and now they do it at the Hill. But they were telling everybody to go to the soccer game first and then go to the Hill, and that they're not going to start the stuff on the Hill until the soccer game's over. So all the students should go out to the soccer game. I don't know if we have any students listening to us, but if you are and you're a student, go to the soccer game. And if you're an alum, go to the soccer game. And
if you're just a fan, yeah, just go to the soccer game. If you're anywhere near Denton, go to the soccer game, man.
You live within 100 miles, go to the soccer game. Yeah.
Yeah, support North Texas women's soccer. It's really entertaining, man.
They are the one consistent winner every year.
I feel like maybe if I could do, you know, like my undergrad degree again, I would go to more women's soccer games, you know? Like, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know at the time. But now you know. You have no excuse, so you should go. You know what else was recently announced? Sorry, I'm getting sleepy. The 2012 Athletic Hall of Fame class. Among the group is Walter Chapman, football, Brandon Kennedy, football, Ron Linscombe, track and field, C-Dan Smith, football, and Jamario Thomas. The only one I remember was Jamario Thomas. That was my time around there. I remember him. I didn't see his big year, the one where he hit 1,801 yards and set the NCAA freshman record for 200-yard games, going over, it was like five times or something. And, yeah, he tied the NCAA record for fastest to reach 1,000 yards when he made it in only seven games that year.
Pretty awesome.
It was a year that Patrick Cobbs went down, and everybody was like, oh, well, you're going to give it to this freshman guy who's heralded, but, you know, like, let's see what he's going to do. True freshman, led the nation in rushing. 180 yards a game. It was crazy. He was limited by injuries in the couple years past after that, and he was also limited by Todd Dodge. And, you know, that. So his career wasn't as – it didn't finish as promising as it started. But there he is, getting honored in the 2012 Hall of Fame class. So good on him, man. Good stuff.
Yes. Yep, five more people in, so that's good. Keep it growing.
Yeah, man.
I like it.
Anything else we want to mention? I know the, like, Coach Mack had his coaches show, and he was saying that, you know, like, talking about some injuries. I know, like, Sarge McCoy's probably going to be out. He probably could play, but they want to hold him out.
Yeah, you know. Same with Cantley.
Yeah, and, but Ryan Boutwell is going to play, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, I thought Tevin Cantley played fairly well. I know he made one or two really nice plays, so.
I guess he got knocked out in the first quarter, too, though, just like McCoy did. So, you know, that speaks volumes, dude. I mean, that's two of our starting defensive linemen get knocked out in the first quarter, and we still played, I think, pretty good defense the rest of the game. So,
yeah.
It's a good sign.
Cool. So there you go. There's a bit of injury news. What'd you think of Zach? Well, I guess you didn't watch much of the game, but Zach Wilfill played okay. He had an interception, but I mean, he was good, but he wasn't great out there. I know they targeted him a little bit, but yeah, you know, that was good. So I don't know what I'm thinking about that right now.
I did see pieces of the game. I mean, I watched like the whole first quarter, and then I watched bits and pieces after that. But he looked good. I mean, I think the whole secondary looked much better than I thought they would look, especially against LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about pretty much four guys that have never started for North Texas before getting thrown out there against an SEC team. And, yeah, I know we let up 500 yards of offense, but, you know, I think almost 300 of that was on the ground. So,
yeah, 351,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really not upset at all at our pass defense. I thought they actually played really good. And I don't remember us really getting, like, burned on, like, a 90-yard touchdown pass like we always do against those big schools. So, you know, we played really well. And especially for a freshman, him getting a big pick on the goal line and stuff like that. And I mean, he's a converted running back. He's only been a cornerback for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what I was trying to get at, that he didn't look – he looked like he, you know, he belonged out there, and any mistakes that he's making were just, like, mistakes that you would expect out of any young guy out there. So – it's good stuff, man. I'm feeling a little bit confident. This game, once we get this game out of the way, and get a big win and whatever, then the big one, another big one comes up. Big test going to Kansas State, going to Manhattan, and doing that one. And we'll talk about that one next week on the podcast and all that other good stuff, man.
So let's whoop on the Tigers after we lost to the Tigers.
Is that what they're called, the Tigers, really?
Yeah, TSU Tigers.
Man, I'm not up on my TSU information. But all right, thanks everybody for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 9. You can find us in the iTunes store. You can find us, you know, like on the site. You can find us. Mean Green Nation is the Twitter handle. You can get a hold of Tony. Tony, what's your Twitter handle?
Boston Mean Green.
Yeah, and I know I've got a couple emails, so I know some people know how to use the email. You can email me, NTM, at meangreennation.com. Really, anything at meangreennation.com. You can get a hold of me. You know, like, and if you want to get a hold of the podcast specifically, podcast at meangreennation.com. Yeah, go Mean Green, guys.
You know, go Mean Green.
Stay calm, go Mean Green. To use an overused meme. But, yeah. Alright, later.
Later. In the summer sky, flying high, bird of prey, bird of prey, flying high, flying high.